Yo, what's going on, y'all? It's Combo Breaker 99. Welcome to Combo Breaker 99 Talks, hashtag CB99 Talks. This is episode one, official podcast I'll be doing on this channel where I'll be discussing boxing, women, MMA, specifically women's MMA. You know, I'll be talking about anything and everything boxing and what's going on in the octagon as well as outside the octagon, in the ring, outside the ring. So, yeah, make sure y'all subscribe. Like I said, I'm going to just be doing these podcast episodes on my YouTube channel here. And eventually, you know, I'll post them on iTunes, you know, all those other podcast platforms like Stitcher and Spotify, you know, where I also post my jab podcast, you know, where I talk about anything and everything boxing over there. But yeah, make sure y'all subscribe to that. But today I want to kick it off and talk about, of course, some boxing and some women's MMA. First off, I want to talk about the return of Errol Spence Jr. and who he's going to return against and how likely it's going to be a top level opponent. And fight night tomorrow, you know, I'm going to talk about Invicta FC 39. You know, we got a good card coming up, but there's been a couple changes to the card. So, you know, I want to go in and just go down the list of fights that's taking place, make a couple of predictions and, you know, let y'all fill y'all in on some of the changes that took place. You know, some serious ones too, man. But, you know, I'll let y'all know about those. But Saturday we got UFC 247 going down, you know, the co-main event. What I want to talk about is Valentina Shevchenko versus Caitlin Chikugin. Probably one of the best flyweight fights you can make. You know, Caitlin Chikugin is like the number one contender. Valentina, she's a champion, man. And you can't count out Caitlin. You know, I know she's going in as an underdog, but hopefully it's going to be a good fight. So, you know, I want to do my keys to victory like I usually do, and do my final prediction on that fight as well. So what's going down, man? This weekend we got a lot going on in combat sports. But yeah, man, let's kick this thing off. You know, just let y'all know too, like, as far as boxing, I'm gonna be talking a lot of our, you know, discussions on like the welterweight division. You know, it's one of the top divisions in the game, that and the junior middleweight division. But as far as the welterweight division, you know, I want to talk about that division a lot because, you know, we got a lot of talent, we got a lot of gifted fighters, but we still don't have that number one. Well, we got the number one guy, like Errol Spence. I feel like he's number one. But, you know, we don't have that undisputed champion. And it doesn't look like, it don't look like there's a road that's leading to undisputed yet. You know, we got the number one welterweight, which is Errol Spence. You know, he's got both belts. Then we got the legend in Manny Pacquiao, who's got a belt. Then we got the number one pound-for-pound fighter, Terrence Crawford, who holds a belt. So it's like we got three number one guys in the division and, you know, nowhere near looking like they're fully going to mix it up, or it doesn't even look like there's a road for them to finally say they're going to fight for the undisputed crown at some point. You know, it's still up in the air. So it's just something I'll probably be talking about here, you know, to kind of help push those fights on why they need to happen and, you know, just kind of speak for the fans. You know, the fans, you know, we waiting for some of these fights to happen. But I want to talk about the return of Errol Spence first, because him coming back in the game, that's definitely going to make a big impact on whether those fights happen or not. So, yeah, man, let's kick this thing off, man. Round one. First off, like I said, return of Errol Spence is going down this year. As you know, at the end of last year, he was on the Charlo Harrison rematch card. You know, he wasn't on the fight card, but, you know, he was there in attendance. And, you know, he did a little interview with Brian Kenny. Errol Spence did an interview with Brian Kenny, and he talked about his return to the ring, which would probably be like in May or close to the summertime. And right away, you know, he stated that he wanted to face a big name like Danny Garcia, Terrence Crawford, or Manny Pacquiao. You know, he said he didn't need to tune up. You know, he said he just wanted to go straight at, you know, anybody with a belt. And recently looking at you know, recently looking at Errol Spence on Snapchat, you know, he's been back in the gym. You know, he's been getting back into shape, you know, hitting the mitts, doing his road work. You know, he's showed off the body, you know, he's shedding the weight off. He's been looking good, you know, physically he looks good. And, you know, first off, I just got to see, you know, a lot of people that have been getting in the box, and they asked me about the welterweight division. You know, some people that have been looking at it, they asked me about Errol Spence fighting Terrence Crawford. Well, I tell them, you know, Errol, he's going to be coming back this year, you know, and I want to know, I myself want to know what caliber of opponent he's going to face. You know, I'm wondering, you know, like to the listeners as well, do you think it should be a B level fighter or higher? You know, because some people ask me, if he does come back, do you think he's going to fight one of the top guys, or is he going to take on a tune up? You know, can it be Danny or Manny or even the Terrence Crawford fight? But before we answer that question, first of all, I got to say, you know, the Terrence fight is what everybody's calling for, especially after recently Terrence and Errol, you know, back in, I want to say December, around when that Tank fight took place, you know, when Tank and Terrence, they were kind of going back and forth. Errol, he kind of jumped in, and then Errol and Terrence, they kind of had a war of words on Twitter, and it finally ended with them saying that eventually they'll fight. You know, that kind of got the fans, you know, riled up again and ignited that new flame, because a lot of the fans are now saying, you know, Spence Crawford 2020, Spence Crawford 2020. But I had to tell them, I said, hold now. I'll be like, oh, pump the brakes. You know, that fight ain't happening yet. You know, we, you know, y'all see them talking on Twitter. You know, they kind of sizing each other up like they did, like, when they met, like, back in 2018, around the end of 2018. You know, they were, like, standing outside, like, before a fight or after a fight. You know, a lot of people felt like the fight was going to happen then, and then talk just kind of died out. Now they're talking on Twitter, and people think the fight's going to happen again. But I was like, hey, before you get your hopes up, remember that Errol Spence just came out of a car accident. And it's highly unlikely that he's going to jump right back into the ring against a top-level guy like Terrence Crawford, even if he said he's ready. And me, personally, I feel like Errol Spence should return against a tune-up fight. You know, he should just be on the safe side and take, you know, I won't say a fully soft touch, but just somebody to get him back into the ring, you know, because I know he's saying he feels good and that he's ready to face the top guys and, you know, he's ready to go all out. But, you know, that's just the confidence talking. That's what you want to hear when somebody came back from a car accident. But on the real, you know, Spence has to make that cautious choice, you know, after a serious car accident like this. You know, he should definitely take on a lower level opponent than a Manny or a Terrence Crawford. Now, Danny, that's a different world. Let me hold your thought on Danny Garcia, and I'll speak on that in a minute. But I just feel like right now, you know, even to the hardcore fans that know boxing, Errol Spence needs a tune-up. You know, he just needs a tune-up to make sure certain things are right. And again, like I said, it can still be like a top 15 guy. It doesn't have to be like an unranked guy, but it has to be somebody to kind of test to see where you stand physically. You know, no need to go in there and try to prove like, hey, I can bounce back against a top champion. You know, I can just prove anything, you know, because I came out untouched from a car accident. You know, there's no need to do that. You know, I know Errol Spence, there's a lot of things that he probably feels 100% on in training, you know, like certain movements, certain motions that can just be tested in sparring. But he still needs to get back in there with a tune-up just to make sure, yo, how well can I absorb punches? You know, how's the skin holding up? You know, I just want to make sure everything is good for when I get back in there against an elite guy that this is going to hold up. I feel good, you know. And the most important thing, of course, we're going to talk about, too, is the mental game. You know, you want to build that back up. You want to build that type of confidence back up because, first off, you know, mental. I've asked fighters this before, you know, I've heard fighters say boxing is 90% mental to 98% mental, but it's always in the 90s. You know, everybody always tells me that it's somewhere in the 90s, you know, as far as how much of boxing is mental, you know, that's how important it is. So not just the physical, like he could feel good and look good, come in looking ripped, but the confidence and wanting to be there and feeling that pressure again is a whole nother story. So you just kind of want to take, you know, you want to take that one step at a time, because mental of the fighter, you just got to think of these other questions. Like these are questions I'd be asking, man. Like, you know, can a guy like Spence able to regain that? But can a guy like Errol Spence regain the mental strength after such a close near-death experience? You know, your car tumbling the way it was and you coming out untouched, like you're probably feeling like that's a sign that you came out untouched. But at the same time, you're like, damn, I came close to death. Like you start wondering what type of moves you made like that led to this. You know, you're starting to think of a lot of things like that, like coming out of an accident that would have killed most people. How sure can Errol Spence be of wanting to return to the sport where you're always putting your life on the line, you know? you come out of an accident rethinking a lot of things. You know, you're thinking about being closer to family, enjoying life. You know, in Errol's case, you know, watching his daughters grow up, you know, trying to slow it down. So returning to a sport where your life is always on the line, you got to think of that. And I'm sure, like I said, he's probably thinking of a lot of these things. Like, what we see isn't always what's, you know, what's real. You know what I mean? Like, is it, there's other questions, you know, is it worth putting my life on the line for a living? So you're thinking that at this point, like, damn, man, like, should I be doing this? Maybe there's something else I could do where I can make sure I'm more content and I'm always going to be there for the ones that need me and love me, you know, things like that. Like, anybody will probably think of that, but I'm not saying like Errol Spence is ultimately feeling that way, but you know, he's probably feeling like this risky job called boxing could put me back in the hospital where I don't want to be. You know, it could put me back into that. It could put me back into feeling like I did that night of that car accident. You know what I mean? Like, you could really feel like that at that point. Now, of course, that's something that's crossing his mind. But the vision you get after like these serious car accidents, they can really put things into new perspectives. And I know that because I've talked to some people that have been in car accidents like this. You know, I've known some people who've told me that as that car is flipping, while that car is like flipping or rolling through the air or whatever, you know, I've heard them say like everything leaves your mind except the things that you really care about. You know, those things that you really care about just like flash through your mind like so fast in like a second. You know, you see all these images in like 1 second. You know, you see all the things you cared about, all the things you love and have some emotion attached to. You know, you feel these things. You know, you see them through your head whenever you're going through that. I've heard people tell me this. And then when they come out of the accident, you know, they're telling me that they feel different about things. Like, they feel different thing about life. Like, they're not as worried about certain things. Like, they want less stress. They want to enjoy different things. And that's why I'm wondering about Errol Spence. Like, if Errol Spence sees boxing as something he just loves to do, then it might be easy for him to get back into it. But if there's a point whenever he feels like it's stress, then it might not be something he wants to continue to do, you know? And I just say all of that because it's going to really take time to make sure you're ready. You know what I mean? Like, maybe again, like for a special fighter like Errol, it'll take a fight or two. It might just take one fight, you know, from what we've seen, he's ready, you know, but I just say all that because, you know, confidence, you know, the confidence is one thing, but dealing with that pressure when you get in there is another. You know, the Errol fight and the Manny fight are just going to be so much pressure that, again, we don't know if Errol really wants to be there yet. You know what I mean? So going in there with, you know, maybe just a regular fight, like a tune-up fight, you can get back in there and say, you know, this is me. The fight game is me. No matter what happens outside of the ring or happened to me outside of the ring, boxing is where I feel whole, you know? And some people do feel that way. Like, boxing is their one love, and that's where they get their therapy. So maybe he will be one of them people. You know, when Errol gets back in there, it'll feel like he's never missed a beat. You know, maybe he won't be thinking about, like, I'm putting my life on the line, or I'm thinking of it the similar way of the outcome of, like, a car accident, you know? Because you got to think anyway. But, yeah, before that, you know, Errol was probably like, you know, I'm always putting my life on the line. I'm always there. You know, this is what I do. This is the warrior code. But it could all come together like that, you know? So, but I'm just saying, like, if he really wants to test himself, just go in there and get a tune up in, you know, ain't no hurting that, you know, just for himself, just to make sure that he doesn't take crazy chances and mess up his legacy. You know what, just for money, you know, say you're ready for Manny Pacquiao and then lose and then like get messed up and really, you know, lose something in the ring as well. You know, there's no need to do that. You know, there's plenty of time to just continue to do what he does and get the legacy and the money, you know, make smart choices and just say, hey, let's take this one step at a time and we can get the legacy and the money. I mean, of course, you don't want to go in there with such a low of opponent where you don't get what you need. You know, you don't want to go in there and thrash some dude out in one round. And after that, get false confidence, you know. So Errol Spence still needs to be tested. You know, it could be a top 20, top 15 guy, you know, give him a Sergey Lipinets. You know, who else we got? Jose Zito Lopez. You know, he's had a good showing in the Keith Thurman fight. You know, another fighter that last year, another fighter that came back after, some injuries. You know, he kind of gauged us on where Keith Thurman really stands. You know, that's how good Lopez was of a test for Thurman. You know, he gave him all he could handle in 12 rounds. And then that kind of told us where Keith was mentally just by looking at him, you know, body language. You know, he wanted to win, but he wasn't fully there to win like the Keith Thurman we known. So maybe a fight like that could help Errol, you know, Jamal James, you know, any of these guys. But yeah, somebody like Lopez or Lipinus, you know, just a guy to kind of get him back into the thick of things, you know. But any of those fights would be good fights. But just seeing Errol back in action this summer would be good. You know, it's not like we're on, you know, we got him on a clock saying, yo, this is where you need to show and prove. You just got to have a car accident, you know. So there's a legit excuse for pushing back a fight, pushing back a major fight with like a Manny or a Terrence. But I'm not going to lie, going back to Danny Garcia, that fight could happen. You know, to me, I feel like Danny Garcia, after his performance against Ivan Redcatch, like, I don't know if it was just the level of opponent for him where he just kind of felt like he wanted to, you know, carry Ivan, you know, or did he miss a step? But from what I've seen, maybe even an Errol Spence that came out of a car accident could take him on, you know. So if they wanted to take that fight in the summertime, I'd be like, hey, make that fight happen. Because, you know, Danny Garcia didn't really pose a serious threat. I know he always packs the puncher's chance, but he didn't really pose like a serious threat from what I've seen, even to a returning Errol Spence. So that might be a fight. You know, that's a strong possibility. So if Spence really wants a fight date and feels that confidence that he feels, then, you know, hey, look at the Danny fight, you know, some fight that's really going to keep him in the mix. But yeah, man. Yeah, like I said, no need to rush it, though. You know, just take on one of these guys. I can get him back in the mix. Again, let me know in the comment section what y'all think. But yeah, let me see. Was there anything else I want to talk about on that topic? So that's all I want to really talk about on the return of Errol Spence. But yeah, as a whole, I'd like to see Errol just return, you know, against like a soft touch sometime in June. Not a soft touch, but somebody in the top 15 sometime in like June or, you know, July. And then see how he looks. You know, if he looks good from there, maybe close out the year with a Manny or a Terrence fight. But like I said on the reel, I wouldn't care if they pushed the Manny or Terrence fight back to 2021. And, you know, even in my previous videos, before I seen him on Instagram and before I seen him on Snapchat, I said Errol should return. All in all, he should return in 2021, because that's how bad the car accident looked. You know, when the car accident looked that bad and we weren't seeing him for a few weeks or a few months, I was like, yo, he might need to come back in 2021 altogether. You know, even if he had to vacate the belts, he might just have to hold off. But since he came back on Snapchat and, you know, he's looking like, you know, he's looking official. Yeah, I'm like, yo, you might as well get you a tune-up fight, you know, and start to see where you stand. But yeah, man, it's all gone that topic. So let's move on to round two. Like I said, tomorrow night is fight night. Invicta FC 39 is going down. For y'all that aren't really familiar with Invicta, the Invicta Fighting Championships, you know, it's like a platform, an MMA platform for just women. You know, a lot of the women that you see in the UFC, they started out here. You know, I've been a fan of it since almost day one, you know, since like 2012. Yeah, I've been watching it since it started. Yeah, and they've always been putting on some good fights. You know, they had some good contenders that came up, went straight to, you know, the UFC. Who else? You know, of course, Chris Cyborg, y'all remember her, but, you know, we had Rose Namajunas, Tisha Torres, Joanne Calderwood, Felice Herrig, anybody you saw like the Ultimate Fighter episode with the strawweight division. You got a lot of ladies, Brianna Van Buren of recent, you know, she's one of the ladies that's came from here. Who else has come out? Felicia Spencer, Megan Anderson, all of these ladies. But they've been putting on some good fights, and the card that's coming up tomorrow looks pretty good as well. Like I said, I just want to go down the list of fights that's taking place and let y'all know what changes were made. Was a major change I'm gonna go over right now. Yeah, there's a major one. Yeah, I just saw this on Instagram. The main event, Jenn Frey versus Ashley Cummins, which is a rematch to a 2017 fight, is not a title fight anymore. Jin Yufrey missed weight by, what, 0.8 pounds? And she is stripped. She was stripped of the title. Damn, that sucks, man. So she was stripped of the title. And now this fight is a title eliminator. So whoever wins this fight, they have to fight for the title again. And shout out to Jin Yufrey, man. You know, this isn't like her to really, like, miss weight on purpose. It's not like a common thing with her, but you know, she was posting pictures on Instagram, you know, her progression of, you know, how she cuts weight and how hard she's been working. And by 0.8 pounds, you know, that's not like a great deal. Not like she was coming in 7-8 pounds over, but you know, there's a time on it, and you know, they have to follow through. Like, anybody else comes in overweight, they'll probably just start canceling the fight now and penalizing them. But that's what they had to do. They had to strip her of the title, I guess, because, you know, she's the main event, too. And they expected this to be, you know, the main attraction. But once the main event messes up, you know, the consequences are a little bit harsher, you know. But fight's still taking place, but it's just non-title fight. But first up on the card, first fight that night, bantamweight fight between Tina Pettigrew and versus Monica Franco. I'm not too familiar with both of these ladies, like, you know, like style wise, but I've seen Tina Pettigrew fight before. I think this is both of their fighters' Invicta debut, so you know that's a big fight for them. They both have like one win apiece. And who else we got? Adam Waite, we got Jillian DeCourcy. I've seen her fight a couple times. You know, she's fought Alicia Zapatella, who's also on the card. Kelly D'Angelo, she's fought. Yeah, Jillian DeCourcy versus Linda Mihalik. So Adam Waite fight, you know, the Adam Waite division is pretty popping over here. You know, UFC needs Adam Waite division, you know, especially for some of the women over there. They really do need the Adam Waite division. Flyweight, this is a good fight. Erin Blanchfield versus Victoria Leonardo. For this one, if I had to make a call, it could go either way. This is a good flyweight fight because Erin Blanchfield, I saw her beat Kay Hansen, and Victoria Leonardo, you know, she's fought Miranda Maverick two times and lost. But she's beat Stephanie Geltmacher recently in a very good, it was a good bloody technical fight for her. It was a good technical win for her. If it's standing, I had to pick Victoria Leonardo. And if it goes to the ground, I'll pick Erin Blanchfield. Because I seen Erin Blanchfield's ground game. You know, she's pretty serious about it. So I say it's 50-50. It all depends on who gets the style going. I think Victoria Leonardo keeps it standing. It'll favor her. Erin Blanchfield on the ground. If it goes on the ground, go to Erin. I think the win will go to Erin Blanchfield. Adam Waite. Another Adam Waite fight. Alicia Zapatella versus Kelly D'Angelo. Another good fight. You know, Alicia Zapatella, she's like a little fast, you know, tornado, almost like another Tisha Tornado. Tisha Torres. You know, let me see. Kelly D'Angelo, she's pretty scrappy too. I like her striking. You know, she has a pretty good timing, precise style. You know, she's beat Lindsey Van Zandt like a couple of fights ago in Invicta. That one I might have to say Alicia Zapatella. I think I'll pick her. I think she's got the speed and that ferocity to really like kind of throw Kelly off. I think I'm gonna have to go with her. You know, she has a good jab. She has some good striking. So I'll pick Alicia Zapatella on that one. Next fight, flyweight fight. This next one was originally Maria Agapova versus Diana Turcotto. But Maria, she recently gotten I won't say a car accident, but it was auto pedestrian accident. I think she got hit by a car. So she was pulled out of the fight. Now Shanna Young is stepping in. So you got Shanna Young versus Diana Turcotto. And shout out to, you know, Maria Agapova. I saw her on Instagram, and you know, that was it was kind of heartbreaking for her because, you know, like she said, you know, these fights are there, how they make money. You know, she was hurt, you know, after getting hit by a car, it like canceled everything. She had to be pulled. And, you know, it was her real concern was, you know, financial needs. So I was just like, yo, man, I feel bad for some of these ladies who, you know, get this money, you know, on that fight to fight basis like that. But hopefully she'll be back on the next card, you know, just hope she recovers well, you know, shout out to Agapova. But Shannon Young's going to be stepping in against Diana Turcotto. I'll probably have to go with Shannon Young. Looked good in one of her recent fights I've seen, but that'd be a 50-50 fight to call. I'm not sure about that one. Co-main event, flyweight fight between Pearl Gonzalez and Miranda Maverick. Man, this was a good fight. You know, I'm a fan of both of these ladies. You know, Pearl Gonzalez, she was formerly in the UFC. You know, she got cut, but since then, she's, you know, she's came back. She's fought title. She fought for a title against Vanessa Porto, came up short. And, you know, she's still been holding the ground as, you know, one of the top ladies here in Invicta. Then you got Miranda Maverick, who won the flyweight tournament, you know, a couple months ago. She's a raw talent. Miranda Maverick, she's on the come up, man. Like, what I like about Miranda Maverick is, like, not just her skill and what she possesses, like, what she can do, but, like, her IQ. You know, the IQ, you know, overall how she uses things. You know, she's a smart fighter. She's smart even outside the ring, like, outside the octagon. Like, what I've seen her do on that tournament night was smart. You know, just how Miranda was able to conserve her energy on how she approached each fight and the different styles she used on each fight. You know, she fought standing in some fights. She knew how to, you know, take it to the ground and be explosive on certain fights. You know, each one she fought carefully. Like, she fought the first fight kind of safe, then she turned it up on the second one, then on like third when she just went all out on Deanna Barnett. She just exploded and closed the show in, you know, in like dominant fashion on that last fight. So I say, yeah, Miranda Maverick, she's a very smart fighter. And definitely somebody to look out for in the flyweight division on the come up. But yeah, overall, she did real good on that tournament. I think it was, what, like 2 months ago? No, it was like back in, was it November? Let's say back in November. And, you know, like I said, she holds two wins over, you know, another big, strong flyweight in Victoria Leonardo. You know, she submitted her. So yeah, like, her ground game is serious. And like, thinking like one of the areas around me, not too far from me, she did like one of those BJJ tournaments too. So, you know, she's growing, you know. So Pearl Gonzalez, you know, she's a vet in the game too, man. Like, she's real scrappy and knows how to like make adjustments in there. So it's really a tough fight. And like I said, I'm a fan of both. So for Pearl and Miranda, I got to say, made the best woman win. Like, I like both of these ladies. So 50-50, made the best woman win. But on to the main event, Jinyu Frey versus Ashley Cummins. Like I said, non-title fight now. This is a rematch to their fight in 2017. Jinyu Frey won that fight. This go round, man, I probably say that I favor Jinyu Frey in this fight. You know, Ashley Cummins, she's a wild card though, because like, Ashley Cummins has so many styles. You know, she's just overall like an athlete. You know, she's also a cop. You know, she's a law enforcement. You know, she's kickboxer, Muay Thai. She's wrestling. She does it all. But she's came up short in some of the big fights in the past. You know, I've seen her lose to Joanne Calderwood, Alexa Grasso, several other fights. But Jinyu Frey, I think, has more of like a more patient, disciplined striking style that could give her trouble. And you know, if the weight cut and the stripping of the title didn't affect Jinyu Frey mentally, then I feel like Jinyu Frey could win this fight by a decision. But yeah, overall, man, it just sucks though, man. Like, to, you know, really work hard to try to cut that weight, and then that last minute you can't get it and they strip you of the title. But like I said, they're coming down hard now, especially if it's a main event and you don't make weight and it's like a title fight. You know, there's just so many things. You know, those are so many things, like, you know, that kind of cost the card, you know, kind of cost the card as far as like making it a big attraction. So I just hope that Jinyu Frey can win this fight and get back in there, you know, and fight for the title again, man. It's just gonna have to make her work harder. But yeah, man, definitely check that card out tomorrow. It's on UFC Fight Pass. You know, I'll be checking that out. They actually used to post some of these fights on, like, the first couple fights they would post on, what were they posted on, like, Facebook Live or something like that. But now they just post the whole cards on UFC Fight Pass. So it starts tomorrow. It'll stream live on UFC Fight Pass like 7 p.m. I think that's Central Time. So yeah, but yeah, check that out. If you're not a fan of women's MMA, you want to get into it and understand it, check out these cards, you know, because these women work hard. And like I said, I told people, man, like, women that got me into mixed martial arts, period. You know, just watching some of these women fight and the action they put on, it's a lot of women that got me into mixed martial arts on the real, man. But Moving on, man. Let's go on to the last topic I got. Final round, round three. UFC 247. I want to talk about the co-main events. Valentina Shevchenko, the UFC flyweight champion, versus number one contender Caitlin Chikou again. This is a fight that I was thinking was going to happen like a couple years ago before Caitlin lost to Jessica Ai. Because Caitlin Chikou, again, I was always looking at her and I was like, you know, she's a pretty good fighter. You know, she's pretty disciplined, very technical, patient. And, you know, even when she fought Jessica Ai, I picked Caitlin to win that fight. But I don't know what Caitlin that was. I didn't expect her to put on a performance like that. She came up short. And Jessica Ai winds up getting the title shot. And we remember what happened to Jessica Ai. You know, she got laid the hell out. But now this fight is happening. You know, Caitlin Young, she's gone on a couple fight winning streak now. You know, she was able to beat Joanne Calderwood. And it was a tough, close fight to me. And then she went on to beat Jennifer Maya. So she's kind of back in the swing of things now. You know, she's kind of been working on some things. And they're kind of building up her arsenal. Valentina Shevchenko, you know, since losing to Amanda Nunes, you know, she's moved down and just became this dominant presence, you know, taking the belt from Nico Montano without even getting in the octagon with it. You know, that's real. You know, that's the type of presence Valentina has. Like, she does everything well. You know, she does her boxing well. You know, she box, kickbox, Muay Thai. Her ground game is growing. You know, she's one of the best defensive fighters, one of the best disciplined fighters I've seen in women's MMA. You know, shout out to Coach Shelton Harris. I know why he's a big fan of her, you know, but she's definitely gonna be a champion for a long time. You know, that's a topic I might have to talk about, is like, who can really beat her? You know, if Caitlin Chikuigan can't beat her, then I don't think anybody can. You know, and I think Caitlin, like I said, she's one of the best flyweights out there under her. You know, and that's it's saying a lot, but at the same time, it's only amongst that handful of flyweights who kind of rank just so far below Valentina, if that makes sense. You know, Valentina is just like in a game of her own. You know, it's almost like how Floyd was when he was in the welterweight division. Floyd was just on an island of his own, man. But now this fight's going down Saturday night. Yeah, man, I just want to do my quick keys to victory. Like I said, Caitlin's going in as an underdog, but I just have a few keys to victory that she needs to do to win this fight, or try to win this fight, and then I'll do my prediction. First up, Caitlin Chikou again. You know, first up for her, I feel like she has to be first. You know, she has to use her speed. She has to put those punches together. You know, Caitlin, she's a boxer. You know, she likes to box, and she likes to kind of, you know, move those hands quick, use a lot of feints. You know, I feel like she just needs to kind of keep that distance and touch Valentina. You know, just keep touching her, put those combinations together, make it look like, you know, she's getting more of the work done, and make her stationary to the point where, you know, she's kind of confused about throwing anything. You know, Caitlin just has to kind of pump those jabs like she was doing in the Joanne Calderwood fight to win that fight. You know, she just stayed one up on Joanne, you know, by pot shot, you know, just continue to pot shot. I know Joanne Calderwood is different than Valentina, but, you know, whenever a fighter is standing still and stationary, you know, Caitlin's kind of letting her hands go. You know, she's kind of using those little feints. You know, she's using them little boxing moves like the little windshield wiper, and then she's popping the jab, and then she's throwing a right kick. You know, so she's throwing a head kick after a jab. So she just needs to be fast and be first. So as soon as she gets into her range, she has a longer range, you know, she just needs to pop, pop, kick, move. You know, make sure she touches Valentina, but don't let Valentina touch her. So she just needs to take each round one fight at a time by being first and, you know, putting her punches together. Use movement and angles. Again, you don't want to stand in front of Valentina. You know, Valentina, when she closes that distance, you know, she's hitting you with that hard left hand, or she's, you know, checking that leg, or she's taking your ass down. So Caitlin definitely has to move, you know, stay away from the left hand and just keep pop shotting in an angle. And avoid the clinch. You know, Caitlin is a taller fighter. You know, she's a little bit bigger, but I think that Valentina is just like freakishly strong for this division. You know, she's physically strong. So once she gets into that clinch, she'll control it with knees or she'll slam you. She'll take you down just like how she did Joanna. You know, Joanna, of course, she moved up from 115. But whether it was Priscilla Cochera, any of these fighters, they felt that strength. You know, Jessica, I felt it for like a couple seconds, even through the leg kicks. So she definitely needs to avoid the clinch. Just keep it standing and move and strike. Make it awkward. You know, if you try to fight a textbook fight against Valentina, you know, she's seen it all. You know, she's been reading the books. You know, she's putting her own chapter in these books. You know, Caitlin has to make this a different type of fight. You know, a couple of times, just kind of make it awkward and rough. You know, things that she don't expect. And that's why I said she just needs to kind of move around and throw and land and just take each round one fight at a time. You know, picture each round is one fight at a time and just try to piece it together that way. Just stay busy. You got to stay busy in that fight because sometimes Valentina has a habit of being a little too economical or being a slow starter, which showed in the Nunes fight. Sometime while she's waiting, she's more so wanting to be the counterpuncher. So for Caitlin, she needs to counter the counter. You know, you got to time her. You know, use feints by making her throw her counter and then come back with your own counter. That makes sense. So Caitlin's just got to make it a different type of fight. You know, you got to make it something different that Valentina has never seen before. Keys of victory for Valentina. I'm starting off right here. Use the left hand. You know, Valentina has one of the best straight left hands I've seen. It's got a lot of power. You know, Priscilla Cochero fight, Joanna, even Nunes fight, you know, a lot of Holly Holm, a lot of fighters have to respect that power in that left hand. So I think as soon as she starts closing that distance, you know, she needs to start, you know, flicking that jab out there, flicking that right jab out on Caitlin whenever Caitlin kind of closes the distance. Time the head movement of Caitlin and then just pop off those left hands straight up the middle. And once she feels that left hand and snaps her head back, I think it'll kind of change Caitlin's mind frame. So if she starts using that in the first couple rounds, you know, she even had Liz Carmouche not wanting to touch it, you know. So once that left hand touches and it hits square right on Caitlin up the middle, you know, Caitlin will back up. So she just needs to keep that mid-range. Use the jab and fire that left hand down the middle. Next one, close the distance. You know, that's probably like the same thing. You know, when Caitlin is using that boxing movement from the outside and, you know, she's trying to stay away, Valentina just needs to keep coming forward, inching forward like she does. Inch forward in that stance, that Muay Thai stance, and just keep closing the distance on her. And, you know, just keep on pressing that control pressure on her. And, you know, just keep taking her apart that way. You know, once she feels that distance closing, it makes a fighter feel that type of pressure. Like, they're not feeling like punch pressure, but they're feeling like they feel like they're getting smothered without getting smothered. And, you know, while they're thinking of that, you know, Valentina's getting shots off. So you got to close the distance in that manner. Check kick to the lead leg of Caitlin. You know, another thing I've seen, or another thing about Caitlin is Caitlin's a boxer. You know, from what I've seen, she likes to box a lot and she's kind of heavy on that lead leg. You know, she's heavy on it. And Joanne Calderwood, she had a field day with that check kick to that lead leg. She was tearing the inside of that leg up. You know, if Joanne would have put more punches and put more tools together, Joanne probably would have won that fight more convincingly to me. Or she would have won it. But, you know, that's where she came up short. But somebody like Valentina, you know, if she starts using that check kick, you know, that'll open up many of things for her. You know, that open up many opportunities for her, and Valentina will capitalize on that. So if she gets that check kick going on to the inside of Caitlin's leg, that's kind of front heavy because she'll be, you know, she's not as quick as she's fast, but she's not as quick as Valentina. So Valentina can kind of time it and really pop the inside of that leg of Caitlin while she's leaning heavy on it. Because like I said, most boxers, you know, when they're more flat footed, they're kind of leaning heavy on the front leg or the back leg, so they're not as quick to move. So Valentina, she can kind of, you know, capitalize on that and counter quick, or she can just be real quick with the check kick to the inside leg, and that'll tear up Caitlin's leg. So that's another way just to open up different things and at the same time just do a lot of damage. So using that check kick to the inside leg of Caitlin. take it to the ground. Last one for Valentina, take it to the ground, man. Like, I think her ground game is way better than Caitlin. So if there's ever a point whenever she feels like Caitlin is out jabbing her or out striking her, she just needs to catch that leg or come straight in and, you know, get the trip and hit the takedown. You know, I feel like the better ground control will come from Valentina. You know, once she gets her there, she can do the better work on the ground, just use those elbows and try to get that ground and pound in. So, yeah, man, I mean, overall, you know, Valentina, she has more tools to work with. You know, I feel like she's the more better polished fighter, but you never know, man. Styles make fights. You know, styles make fights in this one, so we don't know what type of approach Caitlin's probably been, you know, taking for this one as far as, like, studying. But going on to my prediction for this fight, man, I'd be crazy not to pick Valentina Shevchenko, but I'm going to go with Valentina Shevchenko because I'm not crazy. I pick Valentina Shevchenko by decision. I'm going to pick her by unanimous decision. I think she's going to, you know, have a couple of slow rounds where she's feeling Caitlin out, and Caitlin might win like a couple of the first rounds. But as Valentina settles in and she starts to really close distance and use that power, and Caitlin feels that power a few times, I think that Caitlin will go on the back foot and kind of start respecting her. And when she starts respecting her, I think Valentina is going to move in and take it to the ground, get in a few takedowns all the way to the end, and just dominate from 4 and 5. So, yeah, that's my call on that one. I think Caitlin will probably maybe edge round 1 or 2, maybe, if Valentina doesn't get started early. But I think Valentina's going to make those adjustments, take it away from 3, 4, and 5, and take it on home to a decision. But, yeah, man, that's all I got on this one, y'all. In the comment section, leave me. yeah, man, in the comment section, leave me what y'all think. Who you think is going to win this fight? I'm going to have to go with Valentina, like I said. But, yeah, that's all I got on this episode, y'all. My final thoughts. Overall, for Errol Spence, you know, like I said, there's really no need to rush in the game. You know, I know these guys are getting older and they want to secure money. They want to secure the legacy. They want to do things. But after something, you know, after a serious car accident that like Errol Spence was in, you know, no need to rush it now. I mean, you know, we know the game don't wait, but, you know, he just needs to take his time and make sure he's good. You know, take this tune-up fight and everything will be good, man. But, yeah, like I said, pretty much I'll be doing these episodes here on YouTube. This is the first one, like I said, still kind of getting the feel of, you know, doing a podcast solo. But let me know in the comment section what y'all want to hear me talk about. You know, maybe I'll do some topics on that, or I'll start doing them live streams. You know, I'll start doing them live, or I'll try to get some people to talk to. But, yeah, that's all I got on this one, guys. Like I said, make sure y'all subscribe here, Combo Breaker 99 YouTube channel, as well as to my Jab podcast where I talk about boxing. You can subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and SoundCloud. You just type in hashtag Jab podcast, subscribe to that. Follow me on Instagram at ComboBreaker99 or All Boxing Everything on Instagram. All Boxing Everything, that pretty much describes it, what I talk about over there. But ComboBreaker99 on Instagram, you know, I'm just talking about boxing and women's MMA. So, yeah, I post stuff every day over there. But, yeah, man, that's all I got on this one, guys. I will catch y'all after fight nights. You know, I'll probably catch y'all on Monday with the episode, you know, discussing all the fights that went down. But I'll still also be doing little videos, little post-fight reaction videos, you know, before I do another episode of this show. But, yeah, man, that's all I got on this one, guys. Hashtag CB99 Talks. Make sure y'all subscribe. I'm out. Peace.